Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 22nd day of August 2024. Before I introduce to you my guest and our topic for the day, I have a very important reminder. All men in ministry leadership are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. And we have as our very first-time guest speaker Dr. Joe Boot, who is a world-renowned author, conference speaker, and founder and president of the Ezra Institute, flying all the way from London, England, to be our keynote speaker. We hope that as many of you men in ministry leadership as possible will attend, and that we can even break our attendance record from our last pastor's luncheon that featured Dr. Joel Beakey as our speaker. We had over 250 men there, and we're hoping to top that. And not only is your admission free, and the time, the opportunity to hear what will no doubt be a powerful and edifying message from Dr. Boot, free, and your time of rest, relaxation, and refreshment, fun, fellowship, and feasting, all free. On top of all of that, everybody in attendance receives a very heavy sack of free, brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. Everything is absolutely free. These were the strict orders of my precious late wife, Julie, who started these luncheons in the 1990s when I still lived on Long Island. And we've been conducting them ever since she went home to glory with Christ in 2010. We've been conducting them in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her. So if you'd like to attend this free event, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Please give me your name, the name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. Remember, this is a men's only event. And that's Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. Joe Boot. And that email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled to have a returning guest today, a dear friend of mine, Virgil Walker. Virgil is Vice President of Ministry Relations at g3men.org, the website for G3 Ministries. He is co-host with Daryl Bernard Harrison of the Just Thinking podcast. He's an author and a blogger, and today we're going to be addressing the very controversial theme, is it time for DEI to resign? And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Virgil Walker.
Hey, brother. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be with you. Looking forward to the conversation we're going to have today.
Amen. And we will get to the topic momentarily, but I'd like you to explain. I mean, it'd be hard to believe that anybody in my audience doesn't already know something about G3, but it just so happens that we are learning about new people joining the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience every week. So they may be unfamiliar. That why don't you tell our listeners about G3 Ministries?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do that. One of the things I'm learning all the time is that there are new people coming to an understanding of Reformed faith, an understanding of what it means to really hold tightly to biblical sufficiency and the like. And so as a result of that, there are new people all the time who don't necessarily know who G3 is. And so G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. That's where we get the three G's from. It is a parachurch ministry that is designed to help to educate, encourage, and equip local church pastors in sound biblical doctrine. What started out as a conference-based ministry, the G3 Conference, it was a biennial event, a biennial conference that took place annually from 2013 to about 2020, and then switched to a biennial conference. The national conference was held here in Atlanta, Georgia. The last few years, it's just absolutely exploded. In 2021, there were about 6,500 people in attendance. And in 23, we had about 8,300 in attendance. And we're already planning in 25 to see somewhere between 8,500 and 10,000 in attendance.
Whoa!
At the conference. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So we're excited. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Some of the pastors and preachers that folks know, the Paul Washers, the Vody Bachums, the different Stephen Lawsons, the different preachers and speakers from around the country that are part of what we do at G3. And have been for a number of years. We also intend to have some new faces and some new names that are on the horizon that people may be familiar with, but we'll definitely hear more and more from over the course of their time in G3 circles. And so, man, we can't wait. We're excited. I was telling you before we got on this particular episode that we're closing in on the 12-month mark. The G3 conference, the national conference, is September the 11th through the 13th in 2025. And as we turn the calendar on August and head into September, we'll close in on 12 months. And that's for us a big time. I mean, we plan these things 18 months out, but definitely by the 12-month mark, we're off to the races again with the planning in full swing. So it seems like a long ways away, and it actually is not. But we're excited about that. Last thing I'll mention is, in addition to that, is we've got a conference that's actually happening, a regional conference, a smaller conference for sure, but a regional conference that's happening in Oklahoma City, in the Oklahoma City area, Mustang, Oklahoma, to be exact, at First Baptist Church there in Mustang, the Cessationist Conference. And so we're extremely excited about that conference as well. Number of fantastic speakers will be aiming to look at and understand the doctrine of cessationism. And so that will be happening October 3rd through the 5th. People will not want to miss the opportunity to join us there as well.
And just to enlighten some of our listeners who might be out of the loop, they might be new mm-hmm. Christians, cessationism mm-hmm. is the belief that the sign gifts that we read mm-hmm. about in the Bible have ceased with the last apostles on the earth. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah, that's correct. I think one of the things that we're excited about is the opportunity to have conversations about this, particularly because I think the doctrine of cessationism is very misunderstood. Many hear cessation or stopping, and their thought is that, oh, you guys don't believe in miracles. Absolutely, we believe in the miraculous. We just understand it from a biblical context that miracles are rare. They are rare occurrences. They are rare instances where God initiates his sovereignty, his will in ways that are clearly recognizable, clearly discernible, It's not what we're seeing. This is not what we're seeing, however, in charismatic churches. You would think every Sunday at any charismatic church that you popped in that miracles, that signs and miracles and wonders are happening a dime a dozen. They are everywhere and everyone's experiencing them. And the reality is, if we understand the miracle in a biblical sense, we would stop calling everything that we see a miracle. And we believe in healing. But what we don't believe is that there's some man or woman who has some magical incantation that they can utilize at will to heal people. And if they did, my encouragement to them would be to go to the nearest hospital and clear it out so that we would know that they actually had a true sign gift. The reality is God does heal. He is in the healing business, but he heals as he wills. And the reality is all of us are appointed a day to die, and then after that, the judgment. And so we want to put things in proper biblical perspective. I think our time together in Oklahoma City will allow us the chance to have those kinds of conversations, make those clear distinctions, and get back to biblical truth.
Amen. And for more details on all of what Virgil just described, go to g3men.org, g3men.org, and God willing, we will repeat that later on. Also, I would like to repeat our email address, if anybody listening has a question for Virgil Walker on DEI. DEI, for those of you who have been living under a rock or have just never watched political television, perhaps, it stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion, and is one of the main battle cries of the leftists and Marxists in our nation. I can remember a day when people would chuckle when a conservative would call a liberal a Marxist. And these days, nobody seems to be chuckling, and there are elected officials in our government who are, at least at this point, proudly identifying as socialists, or at least downplaying the severity of its importance. You have titled our discussion today, which is also the title of a recent article of yours, "Is It Time for DEI to Resign?" And you have seemingly referred to DEI in that title as a person rather than a thing. But if you could, if you could explain that.
Yeah, absolutely. When if I would have been smart, Chris, I probably would have just used the letters and said, "Is it time for DEI to DIE that would have been a better title for the article. But yeah, DEI. I mean, it's pretty much a part of the a part of the atmosphere, if you will. It's a part of what we breathe in everywhere we go. People are having to deal with DEI policies in their places of employment. Students are having to deal with DEI being explained to them. Of course, in the school system, it's known as SEL. These are letters that are interchangeable for CRT. The idea that it's the idea that there is against them, the Marxist idea that there are those who are oppressors and the oppressed, and because of the historic ravages of racism in our country, that in order to right those wrongs, we have to engage in a unique form of discrimination. And so what these programs are affirmative action types of programs on steroids. They go in not simply to address issues where there's underrepresentation in the areas of employment, but training is a part of this, so that people can be reprogrammed to abandon whiteness as if that can be something that's actually obtainable. They're encouraged to forego white privilege and to use their privilege for the purpose of allyship. This is the kind of language that gets used in circles as it relates to DEI. But I wanted to, before we jump into kind of the current milieu, if you will, to actually go back and look at the origins of this.
Definitely.
When these programs actually kind of got started in our country. I mean, we understand the time of slavery and the ending of slavery, you know, in the 1800s, 1860s, and we move forward to 1875, and as early as 1875, you know, a decade or so after the Emancipation Proclamation is instituted, we have what is the first Civil Rights Act. It is the Civil Rights Act of 1875, and its aim and purpose was actually to protect all citizens in their civil and legal rights. It was aimed and targeted primarily for what they deemed African Americans. I'm sure it was the word was Negro then, or Black, or what have you. But it was aimed at the marginalized population of Blacks who had faced widespread discrimination. The goal of which was to prohibit racial discrimination in public spaces like hotels and theaters, and public transportation and the like. The problem with this, with the act, as later it would actually be thwarted, not but a few years later. In fact, it would be in 1883 that the Supreme Court actually turned this legislation around and said it is unconstitutional. And the reason why the Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional is for the first time it held that that civil rights were required in private establishments. So what the government now had the ability to do was to tell private citizens who had private businesses who they needed to hire and how many of so many people who looked a certain way, how they needed to hire and how they needed to accommodate them. They viewed that as an overreach of government. As it pertains to equal rights in public spaces, for example, you think about the Montgomery bus boycott of the 1960s, where Martin Luther King first gets renowned. That made sense. Why? Because it was a city institution. The Montgomery bus was a product of the local government in the city of Montgomery in the state of Alabama. So it made sense to integrate that space because it was equally accessible to all people. However, a person's private business at the time, government could not enforce or come in and federal government in particular could not come in and enforce the rights for any minority, ethnic group, or what have you, to be able to utilize your private business facilities. You had the ability, in other words, to discriminate with regard to who could and couldn't enter your place of business. I believe, frankly, that the Supreme Court actually, in that decision and with the Civil Rights Act of 1875, got things right. I believe they got things right. What would happen later is in 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, basically the same issue comes up again. You know, after the signing of the Civil Rights Act of 64, what this act did was it allowed, again, government to come in and tell businesses, private as well as public, who they needed to hire, how many they needed to hire, and the manner in which that would take place. And if they violated that, there were government mechanisms to examine, to cajole, if you will, by threat of government intervention, these statutes that you would hire someone on the basis of sex, ethnicity, race, and the like. And so, in 64, you have the same act that took place in 1875 that was knocked down by the Supreme Court. In 1964, that act comes up again, and now it is law, and it is wreaking havoc on our current culture. Now what you see, because of the Civil Rights Act of 64, is not just for Blacks and marginalized groups, historically marginalized groups, quote unquote, but what you see now is the push to say, if I'm LGBTQ, if I'm trans, if I'm, you know, if I don't know what my gender is, and I believe that there's something called a gender spectrum, private businesses and industries are now required in some way, shape, or form to validate the mental illness, if you will, of some of these individuals who don't believe, you know, who are struggling with gender dysphoria, or who are dealing with issues related to sexuality. It is the Civil Rights Act of 64 that sets things up for us as it relates to DEI. I know that was a long way to go backwards, but I think it's important to understand the historic nature of what took place, 1875, at 1964, to understand that today, as we deal with affirmative action in the 70s, and then the push for DEI programs that really took flight around the time of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, you see these proponents of the narrative of George Floyd and the like are telling companies and corporations that they must align with helping blacks close the wealth gap, and this is a part of the way that they're doing it. They're utilizing racism and in the form of DEI programs in an effort to make up for historic discrimination and what they see as the gaps that are in place, the disparities, if you will, that are in place from long ago.
By the way, I want to quickly, before I forget, plug a documentary that my guest Virgil Walker is a part of, Uncle Tom 2. This was a documentary created by Larry Elder. And if anybody wants to view this, they're actually streaming it for free for the 2-year anniversary of the documentary. Go to UncleTom.com, UncleTom.com. And I also want to clarify, I think it would be wise for me to do so, that my guest today, Virgil Walker, is a black man. I hate having to do that because I think it's a tragedy that humanity even has to differentiate other human beings by the amount of melanin content in their skin. It's crazy. It's absurd. And as I know that you and I both wholeheartedly reject, vociferously deny that there are races. We are all a member of the human race, if we are human beings. And one of the reasons I thought it was wise of me to point that out is if I were to say some of the things that you said in the beginning of our program, I would be immediately labeled as a racist, perhaps even by Christians who just haven't investigated the topic very deeply. Because you were basically saying that you believe it should be the right of a business owner or even a homeowner to discriminate, and that just means use their own discernment and judgment. It doesn't necessarily have to do with hatred, although it can, but they should have the right to make their own choices over who they want as a customer base, a clientele, and if it comes to a homeowner, who they want to rent their home to when it comes to people renting an apartment. And even if we would find the choices of such citizens repugnant and even wicked, because, you know, there have been, obviously, for quite a large portion of America's history, people who were barring anyone entering into their doors who were not of the same skin color. And although we find that repugnant, we find it moronic, especially in a day and age when competition is likely going to be harming people. If they were to continue to do that, we still believe that American citizens have rights to be stupid, don't we?
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely.
And it's not always a decision that's stupid. If you own a home and you do not want to rent out your apartment to either unmarried heterosexuals that are a couple or a homosexual couple, perhaps especially if you have children and grandchildren living in your home, that should be your right to not rent out, and so on. And I could go on and on with that, but I just wanted to make sure that our listeners knew where you were coming from on this.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that's right. As a black person or LGBTQ person, what have you, you have the right. If someone says they won't, serve you, or you have the right to go somewhere where they will. You're a human being created in the image of God. Do what you want to do. And ultimately the market capitalism, the market actually sorts that out incredibly well. Mm-hmm. Prior to the 64 Civil Rights Act, there were black businesses and companies and organizations that were doing just fine. They catered to those who were who came in and participated in doing business with them, who they wanted to serve, who they liked and enjoyed. And I think long term, they would have been just fine. With the idea that integration happened, I personally believe that what it created in the mind of many blacks was this idea of white means superior. If I'm in a white lunch counter, they've got to serve better food. It must be colder. It must be warmer. It must be whatever you're thinking it is. It created a sense of superiority toward things that were white, rather than recognizing that the restaurant down the road that fixed barbecue or fixed whatever steaks or what have you, and happened to be run by a black business owner, might have had better food, might have had a better service. You just don't know. But the market will sort those things out, rather than enforcing some law on private businesses that were, in my estimation, unjust and unconstitutional. What we should have done was allowed the market to sort that out, and to ensure that everyone had an equal opportunity to build businesses and build companies and do what they needed to do in those instances, but not thwart the will of those who own those businesses and demand that they hire or participate in acts that they don't desire to.
And I had on the program somebody that I know that you have since come to know and develop a friendship with, Vince Ellison.
Oh, yeah.
Author of 25 Lies. In fact, I'm almost positive I gave you a copy of his book before you knew who he was.
Yep.
But Vince actually startled me when he was defending exactly what you're talking about on my show. And that was in 2022. If anybody wants to look that up, look up Vince Ellison in the search engine of IronSharpensIronRadio.com. But he said, you know what I call it when somebody refuses to leave your place of business, no matter what the reason the owner wants you to leave, whether it's your skin color, whether it's any other reason. I call that stalking. And he made sense to me. But we're going to pick up where we left off there when we return from our first commercial break. And if anybody has a question on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that we both here on this program want to see DIE. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Virgil Walker after these messages.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, on top of the generous monthly financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already provides to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio automatically each and every month, on top of that, they are giving us this enormous, mind-blowing bonus. They're giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry. So whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself, for someone you love, whether you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, or if you're purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today. Even if you're not ready to make your final purchase of jewelry, we just want you to get the ball rolling, because we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com may pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm now back with Virgil Walker of G3 Ministries, and we are discussing a DEI, a diversity, equity, inclusion, and the fact that we want DEI to DIE. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And by the way, I wanted to quickly have you clarify something. Some people might wrongly draw the conclusion that you and I believed that the Jim Crow laws were a good thing, but that was enforced segregation. That was not leaving the choices up to business owners and public parks and things like that.
Correct.
It wasn't correct. Leaving the decisions up to people. You know, if I want black people to eat in my restaurant right next to whites, that's up to me to have them customers come right in here no matter what color they were. No. Jim Crow laws forbid you from doing that. And of course, I'm sure most people, if not all people who are business owners, would be too terrified to face the repercussions if they didn't follow those laws. But anyway, I'm sure that you want to make that clear to our listeners as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think when we think about the Montgomery bus boycott, that was a right movement. You know, that was a right. Why? Because the Montgomery buses were being segregated, but all of the taxpayer dollars equally came from blacks and whites,
right,
while whites were subjugated, while blacks rather were subjugated to riding on the back of the bus. And now the story as it relates to Rosa Parks and all of what she did and to kind of ignite that whole thing. Historically speaking, if you go back and do the research, Rosa Parks was a plant. I mean, the NAACP planned to have her sit where she sat. They had planned for her to operate in the manner that she did. All of that was planned, but that notwithstanding, there was a reason to go after the segregation and laws that were in place that kept that forced Rosa Parks and others like her to move to the back of the bus. And look, they did it rightly. What was originally thought by Martin Luther King and others to be a 5 day, at most 4 or 5 day, walk away from the bus, ended up being a year long ordeal, beginning in December of 1955 and ending December 20th of 1956. So that was a year and some day long process of black bus riders walking away from the buses. And what did they do? They got their own forms of transportation. They began taking the money that they would have paid to the buses and paying them to their friends and neighbors and those. I mean, this was really the first version of Uber that actually was taking place during the Montgomery bus boycott. In fact, the city at the time, Montgomery, the city of Montgomery actually lost in today's dollars nearly $300,000 monthly. And they could not overcome that kind of a hit. The buses were about to be diminished because they couldn't continue not allowing blacks and their patronage to come on the buses. The law actually worked in this way. It wasn't the Civil Rights Bill or Civil Rights Act of 64. This is 9 years earlier. What happened? Well, the issue of desegregation actually went through the Supreme Court. And ultimately, in a ruling called Browder v. Gale, they held that it was unconstitutional to segregate the buses. And on November 13th of 1956, that law was passed and they had to desegregate the buses on December the 20th of 1956. Now, my encouragement would have been for the blacks to continue riding their own. I mean, they had invested a year in spending money with each other and understanding the nuances of that, because now what they were doing legislatively was going back to a bus system that still the bus driver didn't want them on. The whites didn't want them on. What they needed to do was create their own bus system and make it run so well that whites would want to ride on it because it was more efficient and effective. But that's not what actually took place. I do think the removal of the segregationist law was a proper and right thing to do. I think the manner in which it was done in this instance was a right and proper thing to do. But as it pertains to moving forward during the days of civil rights, where now they saw the effect, and Martin Luther King says, let's go do some sit-ins at some lunch counters of private businesses so that we can have the same kind of effect. I think that's when things went the wrong direction.
And I'm assuming that what the compelling factor was that you even wanted to write about this issue and talk about it, that is the most recent current event. Mm-hmm. Was correct. The attempt at the assassination of President Donald Trump, and the fact that the Secret Service behaved in a manner, not all of them. I understand that the people that were actually on the platform acted very heroically, but at the same time, there was some of the preparations that would reveal that they behaved like bumbling idiots.
Absolutely. Well, when again, you push this ball forward, there. I mean, we've been talking historically, but you push this ball forward, and what you have with regard to the trigger, you're exactly right. The trigger for this, for me to think about these issues, was the assassination attempt on President Trump. And what did we witness? We saw, the diminishing impact. Someone missed it. I don't know who missed it, but somebody missed it. Where the shooter was, his access to a former president, his ability to get shots off when people that were in spaces and places saw him, before he began to participate in the way that he did. You have a Secret Service a chief who said, the marching orders, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, her goal was to see a 30% increase in minority representation by 2025, and that was her idea, her goal. Not a more effective unit, not a unit that had the ability to be more lethal, more effective, more protective. No, but that what we're worried about is the level of melanin in the skin of the Secret Service agents
or their gender.
Or the fact that more women were able to participate. And I mean, I just think that's absolutely ridiculous, especially in this incredibly important area of protective service for the president of the United States.
Yeah, and just like with the overreach of the government with the mandates during the coronavirus pandemic, where you had leftist elitists, very wealthy individuals in politics, enjoying the freedom and liberty to go and eat where they chose, unlike the rest of us. This DEI nonsense, you know, without a doubt, if any of those leftists require life-saving brain surgery that is very delicate, sensitive, or, hey, let's face it, even if it's a common tooth extraction, they don't want a DEI hire to be doing this.
No.
They will likely make sure it is not, especially when you're talking about the more serious procedures or anything in life that may put your safety and well-being and life at risk.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chris, here's the duplicity of all of this. I mean, here's the hypocrisy in all of this. You had a few weeks later, Donald Trump shows up at a conference of black journalists, and one of the questioners, one of the journalists there interviewing the president was concerned that and asking the question whether or not Trump believed that Kamala Harris was a DEI hire.
Right.
Right. And so if we think so highly of DEI, if we think it's such a wonderful thing, such an effective tool, mechanism by which to properly adjudicate historic racism, why is it that it is a pejorative, that it is a bad thing in essence to be considered a DEI hire? Why would this journalist see an admission on Trump's part that Kamala Harris is a DEI hire as a bad thing for him to admit,
right,
in a public setting, right? They know what they're doing. This is absolutely ridiculous. And again, another one of the reasons why I just think DEI needs to DIE.
Well, and then on top of that after that already happened, after that journalist was outraged that Trump refused to answer the question about whether or not he believed Kamala Harris was a DEI hire. After that, and I think this was either last night or the night before, Michelle Obama, in her speech, said, "Who's going to tell Trump the presidency is a black job?"
Right.
So there's another clear revelation that she wants whoever becomes the president to be a DEI hire.
Right. They leverage race, ethnicity. You and I know that there's only one human race. But what they're doing is they're weaponizing ethnicity. I mean, this is actually it's used to someone's advantage for in certain instances and to the detriment of others. It would have been detrimental for Trump to admit that Kamala Harris was a DEI hire. It was advantageous for Obama, Michelle Obama, to exclaim that the White House job was a quote unquote black job. If they really believe that to be true, then what in the world is Joe Biden doing sitting in the office? I
mean, and why is Tim Walz, a white man, Kamala Harris's running mate?
Right. I mean, there's all kinds of questions. The logic of this falls apart from someone's quick-witted little ditty that they're trying to score 2 points with the crowd with. I mean, it really is silly.
Okay, we have time for one question before the break. Let's see here. I was just looking at it. Oh, here it is. We have Hakeem in Bedford-Stuy, Brooklyn, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Hakeem says, isn't one of the tragic results of this DEI crime that those people who are brilliant and skilled, who
yes.
have achieved and accomplished much, will be looked upon with skepticism just because of the color of their skin, because one is going to wonder if they are a DEI hire, even yeah. if that person wondering that does not have a single drop of racist blood in their body. And right. you know who? That's an excellent point, Hakeem. I immediately think of Ben Carson before he retired, when he was a brain surgeon. Just imagine, because the DEI nonsense wasn't going on back then. Just imagine, you know, your brain surgeon walks out to greet with you and go over some surgery. You don't even know who Ben Carson is, and you're probably going to be terrified because you just think wrongly he's a DEI hire.
Right. I mean, that's really, in my estimation, the worst outcome of DEI policy, of even affirmative action policy. It's that everyone of a certain melanin count is now viewed, and you know, if they're in a position of authority, if they're in a position of importance or of power, it's automatically assumed that they got there through the help of some program or process known as DEI or affirmative action, and it mitigates, it nullifies the hard work and achievement and accomplishments of many. They are viewed circumspectly. You know, it's well, I'm not sure they're supposed to be there. I'm not sure they're actually qualified to work in that space. And I just think it needs to be gotten rid of because it's not helpful. It's not useful. The programs have at this point created a greater detriment to our culture and our interactions with one another than it has helped. I've argued that long before DEI policies. I've got written material dating back decades where I absolutely abhor and oppose affirmative action policies that are based upon race, racial preference, and any kind of policy that advances someone based upon issues that they have nothing to do with, the color of their skin, their gender, you know, their height and whatnot.
Yeah, and this also goes along with hardworking students who are black folks who poured time and money and countless mm-hmm. hours into accomplishing a lifelong dream, and the lifelong dream of their parents and grandparents, and sacrificed much, and they finally accomplish getting good grades. And what robbery from people like this when you have
Absolutely.
When you have quotas in colleges and so forth.
Absolutely. I'm grateful for the Supreme Court decision that has ruled that this kind of policy is no longer allowed and is discriminatory as it relates
Praise
to
God.
Colleges and universities. But it needs to extend into every facet of culture. And, you know, if we're going to provide set asides and promotion and opportunity, I think a better metric would be a socioeconomic metric rather than one that had anything to do with someone's ethnicity.
And still applying a meritocracy where only people's accomplishments and abilities were the determining factor for their advancement anywhere.
Absolutely.
All right, we have to go to our midway break. Please use this time wisely. Try to contact as many of our advertisers as you can, knowing that their finances are what keep us on the air. And send in your questions to Virgil Walker, to chrisaronson@gmail.com. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello. Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And allow me to highlight some books that are featured at solid-ground-books.com, written by a mutual friend of my guest Virgil Walker and myself, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and a chancellor at African Christian University. Dr. Mbewe is one of the most brilliant men I've ever met in my life and my favorite preacher of all time. And I've had the privilege of calling him a very dear friend since 1995. But one of the books carried by solid-ground-books.com by Dr. Conrad Mbewe is God's Design for the Church, and also a book titled Foundations for the Flock, Truths about the Church for All Saints. And there are a number of other books that have been co-authored by Dr. Mbewe, or books in which he has contributed chapters and so on. And of course, he is not the only author at solid-ground-books.com. They have a multitude of authors, some dating back as long ago as the 16th century Protestant Reformation, spanning the centuries all the way through our modern day, including such contemporary authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase generously, and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, allow me to make an announcement with a special prayer request, especially since this prayer request is for a very dear friend of mine who's also a very dear friend of Dr. Conrad Mbewe. I just heard the news, as did Dr. Mbewe, that our mutual friend Gary Wolfe, who I have known since the 1980s, we were both members of the church where I was saved, and I can't remember right now if Gary was saved there as well, Calvary Baptist Church in Amityville, Long Island, where which eventually became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, after a merger with another church. But Gary has just been diagnosed today with stomach cancer, and his beloved sister died not long ago of stomach cancer at a very young age. And I really urge you, I beg of you, to please pray for the special presence of Christ in Gary's life. Just as Virgil was saying in the beginning of this program, even though we may be cessationists, we believe God does perform miracles. Even though we don't believe in human miracle workers, we don't believe people possess the apostolic gift of healing, we do believe God heals when and where he wants to, for reasons known only to him. And we ask of you to pray for a healing for Gary, whether it's miraculous or whether it's through the guided hands of surgeons and those treating Gary during this trial and battle. We also ask of you to be with him psychologically and emotionally, that his faith remains strong and unwavering, and that he even reaches a point where he can be at perfect peace and even have many reasons for eruptions of joy in the midst of this trial. So please pray for Gary Wolf, a mutual friend of Dr. Conrad Mbewe and myself, from Long Island, New York. And also, folks, before I return to my conversation with Virgil Walker, I just have a couple of reminders to you. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, parachurch ministry, your business, private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please never forget, I never want Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners giving less money than they normally give to their own churches where they're members. Never give less money to your own church on the Lord's Day because you want to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. In other words, don't cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us with a gift. Never do that. And if you're struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. The Bible's very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money, keep in mind. We're primarily to use that money to provide for our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, and you love this show and you don't want it to go away, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring church, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the world find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you are without a biblically sound church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Virgil Walker. We are talking about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And Virgil, we do have another listener question for you.
Sure.
We have Reed in Seven Hills, Ohio. And Reed says, I agree with every word that has come out of your mouth, Virgil, but thinking rationally, do you think, like the old saying goes, you'll never get the toothpaste back into the tube after you squeezed it, that we will ever realistically see, in, at least in our reasonably near future, these things being reversed?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more optimistic, to be honest with you. I do see and think and believe that there is a younger generation who are coming up who, you know, ethnicity is not an issue for them. Yes, you have your liberals and most of these people, if you begin to look at the poll numbers closely, most of the people who are advancing these, you know, far leftist, liberal, causes, that advocate for, race-based preferences and, you know, preferences based upon, on gender and, you know, and trans, and trans related issues are older white women. They're the ones advancing this cause. And what you're seeing, even in it's been interesting watching this cycle of the election cycle, in that you're noting a lot of black men in particular who are leaning more toward the right. A lot of black men are leaning toward Donald Trump. And why is that? It's because they've been told forever by black women, by liberal white women, that they're the victims, that they can't make it, that they can't do well. And they're just not, that message is no longer resonating with them. They don't believe the hype, if you will. They're really advocating the Democratic plantation. They're walking away, and they're willing to even be vocal about their support of more conservative ideas, and particularly their vote for Donald Trump. And so I do think you're beginning to see a shift. I argue there's a major shift in the black community that's happening. While policies lag behind, it begins with people having right attitudes and right thought processes about these kinds of issues.
Okay, we have Jeremy in Matatuck, Long Island, New York, and Jeremy says, although I think there are reasons for Christians to publicly discuss and debate these issues, what kind of response would you give to those listening who think what you are discussing has little or nothing to do with the Christian faith?
Yeah. Well, I honestly believe that if you're thinking about who we are as human beings, and we note that in culture there is this revolt against how God created us. God created us male and female. God displays his beauty through the multiplicity of individuals who have different ethnic backgrounds and different makeups and different color. You know, all of that is a part of God's glory. To relegate those values, those issues to things that we're going to use to beat one another up. That we're gonna militarize those things. That we're gonna engage in sinful partiality on the basis of race, and then to be told by some Christians that the only way that we can have a robust gospel is if we bow the knee to social justice. I think those issues have a lot to do with Christianity, a great deal to do with the gospel, and being clear about who we are, and whose we are, and the responsibilities and roles that we have to one another. I think those are very important issues. When I think about the book of Genesis, it begins with in the beginning God, and we see very short order, man and created order, and that man is given dominion, and there's difference in male and female, and there's difference in humanity. We see all of that from the very beginning, and so God had to think and believe and know that there was an importance in identifying who we are and what we are and our role in humanity. So when culture begins to violently oppose what God has set up and set the dictates under which we interact with each other on the basis of race, on the basis of ethnicity, on the basis of who was subjugated in a fallen, sinful world, I think we have every responsibility as Christians to speak up about it, and that's what I intend to do.
Amen. I could think of two reasons why this definitely involves the Christian faith. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods or anything that is thy neighbor's, and thou shalt not steal. Because a lot of this is being driven, and that would include Marxism and socialism, they are driven by those very things of coveting and stealing, things that are not yours. It is just a blatant display of jealousy, of people moving up and forward and becoming successful and accomplished. And wait a minute, that's not fair. I want what that person has. So it has to be made easier for me to get the same thing. And result is, not only are you coveting, you may be stealing the position that another person would have been hired for. Am I overreaching there?
No, absolutely. That's absolutely a part of it. I think all due respect to the person who asked the question, I think we get ourselves in trouble when we narrowly view the gospel as relating to those issues which pertain to salvation only, and nothing else. If we don't understand that the gospel impacts, yes, it impacts salvation. It's the understanding that Christ came and died, lived a perfect life, died on our behalf for our sins. He became the propitiation of God's wrath that was due upon us, due upon humanity. We need to understand that, know that. At the same time, because of what Christ has done, because of what God has done through His Son, we now are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, and the outer working of the gospel in our lives has an impact on what we see and what we say about what we see in culture.
Amen. And we have Amethyst in Jupiter, Florida, who says, how do you respond to those who try to explain the need for DEI is because we are not all on an equal playing field, and minorities and females have had much higher and greater and impenetrable obstacles to overcome than white heterosexual males, and therefore the playing field needs to be made more even?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question related to that, but the presupposition is that we are all to have an even playing field, and the reality is that's a fallacy. That is a farce. There's nothing further from the truth than that we all should have or need to have an even playing field. All of us are not born with equal opportunity. I'm a short guy. I'll never play in the NBA. The playing field for NBA players and myself should not be leveled so that I can have an equal opportunity to play in the NBA as those 6'5", 6'6" men who actually have athletic ability. That playing field should not be equal. In more serious terms, we're all born with different levels of intellect, different levels of ability, different desires, different passions. What we need to be focusing on is ensuring that the race that's given us to run by God is run well, regardless of the station in life that we're in. If we stop focusing on who has more, who has less, how much I don't have, or how difficult my road was, if we focus on what God has given us and understand that we serve an all-powerful, all-knowing God, who is going to ensure that as I follow Him, I'm going to get what's due me, and there is no one who can take it away from me. I think the more we focus on that, the better we'll be.
Yeah, and when you think about it, there have been freed slaves that have achieved levels of brilliance and knowledge and wisdom and even status in society that I could never even dream of achieving.
Right. I mean, look at Booker T. Washington.
Yeah.
I'd encourage your caller to read his book, Up from Slavery. Here was a man who, was born, just as a slave, sees the Emancipation Proclamation, and then eventually would climb the social, economic, political ladder. To the point where he is informing presidents of the United States as to what they need to do as it pertains to race relations. I mean, the obstacles in front of you are no match for the God that you serve if you truly believe that the God that you serve is all powerful. Focus on him, not the idea that government somehow needs to, quote unquote, level a playing field.
Now, how do you respond with a balanced attitude based on facts in regard to this whole issue, because I believe there are conservatives who speak foolishly when they say that there are no modern day ripple effects from slavery and Jim Crow. Now, I want to make it clear, I do not believe in reparations. I think not only is that a violation of coveting and stealing, as I was just mentioning, we have no way of possibly correctly and honestly accomplishing those kinds of things. But I believe there are clear ripple effects that have continued to plague society in the 21st century because of the sins of America. I believe that God's chastisement has been on this nation. I do not trash this nation. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make this nation nothing but an inherently evil nation. And the idea that leftists mock the slogan, "Make America Great Again," because it was never great at all, ever.
Right.
I reject that. And people are spoiled brats when they're living in a free nation like this. Now, no matter what circumstances they may be facing that are difficult and uncomfortable, when we compare our nation to others, there is no comparison. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we shouldn't ignore that there have been ripple effects. Am I living in a dream world here?
No, I think you're right. My response to that is I think that the impacts of slavery and of Jim Crow in today are drastically over embellished. I mean,
yeah.
were there impacts? Absolutely. Were there economic impacts? Absolutely, there were. If you had wealth passed down to generation, you would have it up to a greater degree today than if you were unable, or your parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were unable to acquire those things. But at the same time, there are those who had great wealth in years gone by. Great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather had money passed down. And within the generation, that wealth is absolutely gone. And the next generation thereafter has nothing to show for it and are impoverished. I'm not a proponent of reparations. If there were to be some, they should have been paid long before
right,
now.
Right, right.
And we're not in a position to do anything to rectify it without actually turning the country upside down, inside out, to the degree that it would no longer reflect the beautiful nation in which we live. The reality is, we live in the freest, richest, most blessed nation in the world. There are paupers who, at great risk of their own lives, attempt to come to the United States with the hope and purpose of acquiring something for themselves and their loved ones, recognizing that the laws and rules and issues and systems that are set up are designed in such a way that those who are willing to work hard, put their nose to the grindstone, and do what they need to do can actually make it. Can actually do well and can actually be in a position to obtain wealth within their generation and an ability to pass that down. I mean, only a lazy person appeals to the government for the purpose of reparations.
And the way that many on the left even discuss this, it's really, and it seems palpably obvious that many leftists, all they are really doing is calling for vengeance. And they really want to do, they want to enact a Jim Crow in reverse, where white men are predominantly the target of their anger and vengeance. And it seems clear that, and I'm not trying to broad brush everybody on the left, but it seems clear that that is without question a motive of many.
Those who are advancing the cause of reparations today have no desire to see the nation as a whole benefit. They are narcissistic. They are focused on themselves. The real issue at the end of the day is, regardless of the dollar amount, and some argue everywhere from $25 trillion to $36 trillion. The reality is that the whole U.S. Domestic wealth in the country is no more than $22 trillion. And so what we're talking about is selling every good that we have in an effort to pay what some believe are to be reparations. And so, again, the reality is this, Chris. If they were given the $30 trillion and sent out in checks across the United States to those who are can be identified as being connected to slavery, the reality is the cohort of people who are wanting to advance reparations would not be satisfied. Regardless of what you paid them, it would never be enough.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have an off-topic question, but it's still legitimate. Bernice in Hollis, Queens, New York wants to know, where has Larry Elder been? I never see him on TV anymore.
That's a good question. I don't know. I was honored to be a part of the documentary, Uncle Tom 2, myself, my partner, Daryl Harrison. A lot of notable folks that were a part of that. Vody Bachum was a part of that that process. Great to be interviewed by those folks and know that he was a part of the he was one of the executive producers of that documentary. But again, I don't have direct contact with him. I interact with him from time to time on social media. He will retweet or repost something I've written or give a thumbs up or a like, and I'm always impressed by that. But I have no idea what he's currently doing in particular. So,
well, there was a nagging memory in the back of my head that caused me just now to Google. I was almost certain I heard Tucker Carlson announcing that he is appearing on stage at a special event, or even special events, plural, with Larry Elder. And I was correct. Monday, September 16th, 7 p.m., at the Fiserv Forum, F-I-S-E-R-V, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And you could find out more by just Googling Tucker Carlson Live with special guest Larry Elder. And you'll get all the information on that. Hopefully they're not sold out already.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bernice, for that question. And we are going to our final break right now. And if you do have a question you want to ask of your own, please send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
And folks, please never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call my very dear longtime friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind our listeners that this Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th of August, my former church, where I was a member before moving to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, is having their Courageous Marriage Conference featuring keynote speaker, best-selling author, Dr. Joe Rigney. If you would like to find out more about this conference, and if you'd like to register, go to gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. GraceReformBaptistChurch.org. I understand that if the registration fee is too high for you, that they are willing to work with you to see if they can lower it to the point where it will be a lot more comfortable for you to attend. That's GraceReformBaptistChurch.org, and that Courageous Marriage Conference featuring Dr. Joe Rigney is this Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. And we're now back with Virgil Walker, and we have been discussing diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. And I know that for a fact that DEI almost cost the life of our former president, Donald Trump. That is painfully obvious. But is DEI literally costing lives?
Yeah, I'd argue that it is. There are some areas in which we need to think about instituting any kind of policy that does not look at or that diminishes standards, whether it be in the example of the assassination attempt, the president of the United States, where obviously protocols were missed, but we also had women who were guarding the president who, from their size and stature, were really unable to provide adequate coverage and protection for him as it relates to Secret Service. When you look at what the airline industry is trying to accomplish, I think if the goal is to encourage people to know that there are opportunities available to them that perhaps they were unaware of. If you're talking about affirmative recruitment, absolutely. But when the goal, the stated goal of corporations like Delta and American Airlines say that their goal is to hire so many black pilots, by a certain date. I think that's problematic, because the issue should not be their ethnicity. The issue should be we're going to hire the best pilots available to fly the planes that we have for the safety of the riding of the flying public. And we're going to promote this opportunity as something that we want to encourage everyone from every ethnic background and every related issue that they have the opportunity to apply for these roles, but that we're only going to select the best person. Historically speaking, America has always been a meritocracy, always about the best. We want the best. Look at the Olympics. No one was trying to ensure certain ethnic groups were equally represented in every sport. No, we wanted the best people on the field, and no one cared about the color of their skin. All they were concerned with was that they had trained all their lives to be the very best at the sport that they engaged in. And when we do that, we recognize America comes out on top. And so I think we've got to get back to that.
And of course, they had men competing in sports with women. Which is absolutely, utterly insane.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's also amazing on how silent feminists are over that.
Well, they're silent because they recognize they're the cause of what's transpired. You go first wave feminism. Let's vote. Let's ensure the women have the right to vote. You know, second wave feminism. It's kind of the Gloria Steinem. You know, I am woman. Hear me roar. I can be in the corporate office in the corporate setting and do what I need to do. And then you've got feminism, third wave feminism that then begins to say I can do it just as good, if not better, than a man. We don't need men. You have even fourth and fifth wave feminism now. Anyone can be a woman. I mean, we've just the regression is so unbelievable. And now you have men claiming to be women involved in sports and leveraging their testosterone and muscle mass in a fight, in a boxing match, and pummeling women to the silence of these same feminists who have marched through the corridors of time and given us this absolutely train wreck mess that we currently live in our day.
And where this nonsense puts our entire nation in jeopardy, and in fact, not just our nation, the world, because regardless of whether or not we like it, I don't believe that the United States is supposed to be the world's police force. But at the same mm-hmm. time, the world looks to the United States for preservation of their own existence. This whole ridiculous DEI going into place with the woke movement mm-hmm. having such inroads in the United States military. I've had Pete Hegseth on the program from Fox News mm-hmm. who wrote the book The War on Warriors. And it's mm-hmm. just amazing the insanity going on where you have so-called transgendered men getting into the military. And then when they are going through their so-called transformations surgically and medically, they don't get deployed to harm's way because they know those high-ranking officials in the military know that this person is in no condition or position to mm-hmm. be defending the life of anyone when they're going through that. So it's almost, not even almost, this is a demonic scheme.
Yes, it is.
And that's just one area, but if you want to continue mm-hmm. on that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's absolutely ridiculous to see that happening in places where we can't afford to allow it to take place. I personally don't think women should be in the military service.
Right.
I think women should be at home with their children, and if they desire to work, that's fine. But the idea that women should be in the military, and I served in the Air Force, and so. I just think it's an absolute mistake. More times than not, when wartime takes place, a great number of those women end up becoming pregnant, and they diminish the fighting number of able-bodied individuals who are able to go in and engage in battle. And so these kinds of things are things that we need to think about as a culture and as a society, and understand that there is a difference between men and women, as God designed us. And those differences have value and beauty and worth as designed by God. The idea that we can switch one out based upon a feeling or an emotion that we have during the course of a given day is absolute lunacy, and we should not be benefiting those people who operate in that way.
And especially in regard to the military, but it involves many other areas of life, people are substituting what is an honor and a privilege into a right that they demand. And especially in the military, when other people's lives and safety are put in jeopardy because of your selfish whims, that should never be the case. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, again, I don't, whatever someone chooses to do is their own, you know, it is their own deal. I'm not trying to stop someone from, you know, deciding that they want to be a woman, or they're a man and they think they're a woman, or what, you know.
You're talking about legally. You're not trying to.
No. I'm not trying to legally change that or transform them. But what I believe is when their mental illness is somehow, and it's incumbent upon me now to embrace that and to use particular pronouns and to open up spaces and places like girls' locker rooms and for men who decided they'd become women and sports and the like. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I will give you a little pushback though on the not wanting to legally prevent people from doing that. I would like to see us reach a point where physicians would be put in prison for mutilating the bodies of very deeply sick and disturbed individuals that they are profiting from, taking advantage of their delusion. And especially if you're talking about children, not only should the physicians be in prison, but their parents should be in prison too.
No, I don't disagree. In fact, let me restate that, because my intention in sharing what I did was simply to say, you know, I have no personal, you know, desire to go into someone's bedroom and change or transform anything that's going on there. That's as far as I mean. I have no problem with laws being put into place that keep people from engaging in bodily mutilation. Particularly with young people, as well with adults and physicians who are willing to destroy people, knowing that what they suffer from is a mental illness, and that even as they change or transform their body, they're still subject to desires of killing themselves, right? Of suicide to a greater degree than any other portion of our populace. It's really abhorrent.
Now, in about 2 minutes' time, can you give us a summary of what you believe the Word of God has to say about this entire subject?
Yeah, well, God has created us in His image and likeness, and we are a reflection of His glory, and we are to glorify Him in all things, and that begins with acknowledging Him, recognizing our sinfulness, understanding that He sent His one and only Son as a sacrifice on our behalf, that if we would repent of our sin and turn to Him and follow His word, that we would indeed have eternal life. Again, repentance of sin, placing our full faith in Jesus Christ, and we will indeed inherit eternal life. As an outflowing of that decision of our repentance, of our faith placed in the finished work of Christ, the outflow of that is a life that is the desires of the things that God desires. It desires the beauty that God desires. It desires to glorify God in all things. And so as a result, we would abandon this idolatry of race and ethnicity. We would abandon this ideation with gender that's outside of the bounds of what God has ordained through His word. We would abandon the chaos of the culture. And we would embrace God's glory in greater ways.
Amen. Well, I want to repeat your website for G3 Ministries, g3min.org, g3min.org. And let's not forget about the Just Thinking podcast, hosted by my guests Virgil Walker and Daryl Bernard Harrison, justthinking.me. That's M as in Michael, E as in Edward, justthinking.me. This article written by Virgil Walker that we have been discussing can be found at standingforfreedom.com, standingforfreedom.com, and you could type in Virgil Walker in the search engine. Do you have any other websites or contact information that you care to share?
Yeah, we'd definitely love for you to check out g3men.org and get registered for one of our conferences, the one coming up in October 3rd through the 5th, the Cessationist Conference. Go to g3men.org as well as our national conference in 2025, September 11th through the 13th.
Amen. And don't forget, folks, that the Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island's marriage conference, The Courageous Marriage, is this Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. At Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, featuring Dr. Joe Rigney, their keynote speaker. To register, go to gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. I want to thank you, Virgil, for being such an exquisite guest, as you always are. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.